Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. On this day we celebrate resurrection. The power of life has overcome the power of death. Hallelujah. The light of love has shattered the darkness of fear. Hallelujah. The way of peace has prevailed against the violence of empire. Hallelujah. We come to worship the God whose resurrection power lives on in the Christ we serve. Hallelujah.
This is Matthew chapter 28, reading verses 1 to 10. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.' So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. 'Greetings,' he said. They came to him, clasped his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me.'"
Jesus, this we know, our own. reading is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 21, and beginning at the first verse. Afterwards, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them, and they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment round him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 metres. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there, with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you've just caught." So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead.
As John's Gospel brings the Easter story to a close in chapter 21, we find ourselves at another meal. It's very different from the one we looked at earlier. We're no longer in a family home down south with a sumptuous meal celebrating the resurrection of Lazarus and the astonishing miracle performed by Jesus. We're back north in Galilee. This is much more informal and unexpected. Peter and six other disciples have returned to home territory. After the roller coaster events and emotions of the past few weeks, they must have just longed for a bit of normality. And so they returned to the familiar. For Peter, James and John, that meant a night's fishing on the Sea of Galilee. Unfortunately, the familiar turned out to be nothing but failure. Not a single catch. To make things worse, a stranger on the shore called out, "Any fish, lads?" "No," came the reply. That was embarrassing. The stranger said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some." Find some? Suddenly, there were so many they couldn't cope. John said to Peter, "It's the Lord." And immediately Peter jumped into the water and made for the shore. It was all too reminiscent of a much earlier incident, when Peter had spent the night fishing with no result, until Jesus had said, "Put out into the deep and let your nets down." And suddenly there was a great catch. On that occasion, Peter had come under conviction. "Leave me alone, for I am a sinful man." But Jesus had said, "Don't be afraid. You'll still be fishing, but from now on, you'll be fishing for people." Now, as the disciples came ashore, they found that Jesus had prepared a charcoal fire with fish on it and some bread. Burning charcoal has a distinctive tang. It was a smell that took Peter straight back to that awful hour when he had denied the Master 3 times and with curses. How he hated that smell. Jesus said, "Bring some of the fish you have caught. Come and have breakfast." Jesus comes to us in our need and reminds us of his provision. He takes what we have and uses it. He gives us what we don't have and what we need. I doubt if Peter enjoyed that meal. The fish was delicious, but there was an uncomfortable atmosphere. Finally, after they had finished eating, Jesus got Peter on his own and spoke to him. The scene had been prepared carefully. Everything spoke of failure. Failure with a capital F. Jesus didn't ask Peter, "Why did you do it?" He didn't say, "How can I ever trust you again?" He simply asked, "Do you love me?" He asked it 3 times until Peter was hurt. But it was a good hurting. It was hurt that brought healing. Peter's first commission had been to use his skills as a fisherman. He had been catching fish, now he was to catch people. It doesn't take much compassion to be a fisherman. In fact, it's better if you don't feel sorry for the fish. Peter was being given a new commission, to be a shepherd. Now that's different. You do need compassion. You still need skill and dedication, but you've got to care for the sheep. You've got to know them, to gain their trust, to feed them and guide them and guard them. You've got to be willing to lay down your life for the sheep. Peter wasn't sent back to square one. He was given a strong reminder of square one, but he was recommissioned and sent forward to pastures new, not trusting in himself, but trusting in the Lord and motivated by love. I have to tell you that when we emerge from lockdown, the new normal will be nothing other than the old failure. But Jesus will be there to meet us, to refresh us, to restore us, to recommission us, to revitalize us. Don't let him be a stranger.
Triumph, see, for the Lord now lives. We finish with an Easter benediction. May the God of peace, who raised Christ from the dead, strengthen your inner being for every good work. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, rest upon you and dwell within you this day and evermore. Amen.